If you would, please open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Romans 15 and verse 4. And in Genesis 22, we read about something that God did that was a shadow or a type of what was going to happen later in life, and actually through Jesus Christ. But there are so many subtleties involved in it. It is amazing to go back and see the wisdom of God and the planning that went into place for our salvation and for the symbolism that was used in the Old Testament that is revealed in the New. Genesis chapter 22, beginning at verse 1. Let's read this text together. "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." I'm going to stop for just one moment. In the King James Version, we read the words that God did tempt Abraham. If you're reading from the New King James Version, you have the word test there. James 1 and verse 13 says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." Some have said, well, how is it that God does not tempt any man, and yet he tempted Abraham? The word tempt here in Genesis chapter 22 is a word that can be translated tempt or test. The fact that, or the statement made by James tells us that God does not entice anyone to sin. And that's the meaning of that word test. He does not entice anyone to sin, the meaning of the word tempt. Here this word means to test him. There would obviously be a temptation for Abraham not to be obedient to God, but in that sense it was a test. So there is no contradiction whatsoever. God is simply testing Abraham to see what kind of faith that Abraham would have. And God put him to a test that would challenge even the strongest of us in our faith. Verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him." By the way, which one of Abraham's children was considered his son? Who is the son of promise, Ishmael or Isaac? Isaac, right, as we just read. Verse 4. "Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." Abraham is saying, I have faith in God. Isaac is coming back with me. We're not worshiping in our journey as we travel. Worship is something that is done in a specific location, in a specific way, for a specific purpose. And Abraham affirms that here. They're going to worship, but notice, we will come again unto you. Verse 6, "Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Isaac would have been a teenager at this point in time, and he was very observant, and he understood that something was up. Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. How did he know to word it, to phrase it in exactly that way? But he did. The point is, God will provide. They came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham was an older man by this time. Let me just go. Abraham was old. And Isaac was still a teenager, maybe an older teenager at this point in time. Abraham could not have held him down and tied him and laid him on that altar had Isaac not allowed it. It wasn't just Abraham's faith that is here on display, but it's also the faith of Isaac trusting in his father, and trusting in what his father had told him about the Lord. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is the second time he made this promise back in Genesis 12. The second time the promise has been made. So Abraham returned unto his young men. They rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children to thy brother Nahor. And we go on and we look at some of the genealogy that's found there. But the point that I really want to note is verses 8 and 9. The question of Isaac and the fact that, or the answer that Abraham gave, and that is, the Lord will provide. The Lord provided a lot of things for Abraham, but he required a lot of things of Abraham as well. Abraham, as we know, is often called the father of the faithful. And this is one of the reasons. If God still spoke to people directly to you today, and he spoke to you and told you to do what he said to do for Abraham to do, what would be our response? Could we do it? Would we do it? We don't know. We can't understand the faith that it required for Abraham to do this. It's just beyond comprehension. But he did. But he told his son, God will provide. Abraham was first called from the homeland of his fathers. According to a statement found in Joshua, we know that God called him out of that land because his family were idolaters. And God was calling Abraham to fulfill a promise to him and to make of him a great nation. Genesis 12 and verse 1 begins by saying, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord has spoken with him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Between that point and this point, Abraham's faithfulness continued to be demonstrated to the Lord. And so the Lord continued to look at this man of faith and make promises and make plans for him. And so his possessions, his reputation, his wealth, all of these things had increased and continued increasing until the time that Isaac had come into this world. Finally, in his own time and in his own way, God provided that son that he had promised, the son that God now has instructed him to offer as a burnt offering. God was never going to let him go through with it, but God was going to wait and see and watch and see if this man had the faith. That if that man trusted the Lord the way that the Lord thought that he did or knew that he did. So he puts him to a great and dreadful test. It certainly was a test, and again, something that we could not have imagined. The Lord provided Abraham a son who would be a blessing. He was a son of promise. He had promised in Genesis 12, promised in Genesis 22. But in Genesis 18, we find a promise being made, and that promise involved a miracle. In Genesis 18, verse 9, beginning, they said unto him, Where is Sarah, thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he, that is the Lord speaking, said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life, and lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? I thought she laughed within herself. She was inside the tent. How did the Lord know that? Because he knows our thoughts. Why did she laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not. Well, she did. But she was afraid, verse 15 says, and he said, no, but you did laugh. There was no denying it. But God made a promise. Abraham was past the point of being able to father a child. Sarah was past the point of being able to mother a child. And God said, but it's going to happen. And of course it did. He provided a son, and that son was going to be a blessing. When you go back to our text or close to it, if you look at Genesis chapter 21, you'll notice something that's very interesting about the name of Isaac. Verse 1, the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which the Lord had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God commanded him. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. 100 years old. Now look at verse 6. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. Did you know the name Isaac literally means laughter? It does. It means laughter. And this wasn't a laughter, just laughing at what had happened. It was a joyful laughter. Happy to be able to have this child. Isaac's name was given him by God before he was born. Genesis 17 and verse 19. God said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and his name shall be Isaac. So what I want to notice, first of all, is that the Lord provided Abraham a son who would be a blessing. Now, number two, the Lord provided the world a son in whom all nations would be blessed. And who did he come from? He came through Abraham and through Isaac. Christ was a son, and he was the promised seed, the promise that had been made to Abraham. All the way back, the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3 and verse 15. The Lord told Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. He shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The Lord was saying, and the Lord that was speaking there was the incarnate Christ, the one who was going to go to the cross. And what he's saying is, you may deal what looks to everyone else like a devastating injury by me going to the cross, but I'm going to deal the death blow to you. The seed of woman, born through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and following that seed line all the way down, Matthew gives us the genealogy. And Jesus is saying, or the Lord is saying to him, you're going to lose, Satan. You're going to cause a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt and a lot of problems and a lot of trouble, but you're going to lose, and I'm going to win. And who was this that was going to do it? It was the Son of God. Isaiah said in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Jesus was the Son of God, God with us. Galatians 3 and verse 16, New Testament commentary on all that's happening here in the Old Testament. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Isaac was a type of Christ that was to come. Abraham gave his son, his only son, was willing to offer him. God gave from heaven his son, his only son, and allowed him to be murdered by a cruel man, to be nailed to that cross, to bless the world. The blessing that started with the promise to Abraham was finally finished and was brought together, brought to reality in Christ upon the cross. Another passage in the book of Galatians that Paul writes is in chapter 4, and beginning there at verse verse 4 would be the beginning. He said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Paul once again identifies Jesus Christ. Here was Isaac as the type. Here was Jesus as the reality. So we find the Lord providing a blessing to the world through whom all nations could be blessed, and that was Jesus. Jesus, notice, we think about Isaac. He was born of a woman who was past the age of childbearing. It was a miracle. Isaac's birth was a miracle. What about the birth of Jesus? We already read Isaiah 7 and verse 14. Here was a virgin who would give birth. Matthew chapter 1, 18 through 23 expands upon this and uses a word in the Greek which can mean nothing but virgin, not young woman, but a virgin. Jesus' birth was a miracle, just like Isaac's birth was a miracle. Jesus brought joy and gladness into the world. Isaac's name meant laughter. He brought joy and gladness to Abraham and to Sarah. But in Luke 2, verse 8, Luke says, there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's what he had promised Abraham. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The promise of Isaiah, the promise to Abraham, the promise to Isaac, the promise to Jacob, the promises just kept being made. They kept being fulfilled, but they were fulfilled in Christ. Jesus was named before he was born, just like Isaac was. Matthew 1 and verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, which means Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. So the same things, we find this pattern with Isaac, and we find that pattern being duplicated with Christ, and Christ being the fulfillment. Number 3, the Lord provided Abraham an offering. In Genesis 22, 1 through 12, we read a few moments ago that Abraham surrendered his beloved son. It was his only son because it was the son of promise. He was the one that God had promised. But he surrendered his beloved son to fulfill the will of God. God surrendered his beloved son to the cross. When Jesus was on the cross and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It wasn't because God had literally forsaken him, but he was identifying with humanity, quoting the psalmist. Heaven had been quiet, nothing had been said, and that is the way to him, that is the way to a human being that it would have felt. If God had forsaken him truly, Jesus would not have said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. It would have been foolish to say that. He was identifying with the pain and the hurt and the feeling of a human being. He was God in the flesh. But the Lord provided Abraham an offering. Abraham did not spare his own son. When the Lord told him to take his only son, Abraham did so. And God did not hold back on sending his son. John 3 and verse 16. Isaac willingly submitted to be sacrificed. Genesis 22 and verse 9. There are some who have made calculations and who believe that Isaac was actually a little older than an older teenager. Some calculations suggest that he was between 25 and 30 years of age, which is very possible. And once again, he could have resisted. He could have fought against his father. He allowed his father to bind him and to put him on that altar. Isaac bore the wood for the sacrifice, Genesis 22 and verse 6. Jesus bore his cross as he was going to Golgotha, at least part of the way. A ram was substituted for Isaac, Genesis 22 and verse 13. And Isaac was returned to his father, Genesis 22 and verse 12, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. How was that, that foreshadowing, that typology, how was it fulfilled in Jesus? Because the Lord provided the world an offering. God gave his only begotten son. John 3 and verse 16, but Romans 5 and verse 8 says that God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus was willingly sacrificed for our sins. There's a passage in John chapter 10 that's appropriate to read here, because Jesus made it very clear that no man was going to force him to do what he was going to do. He could have resisted. He could have fought back, but he didn't. But in John 10, in verse 17, he said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Just like Isaac, who could have fought back, who could have resisted, Jesus could have resisted, but he didn't. Jesus was willing to go through to become with what was lay ahead of him to become the perfect sacrifice. He bore the cross at least part way to the place which he was to be crucified, John 19 and verse 17, Luke 23 and verse 26. He was offered as the Lamb of God for our sins. Remember, John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." John 1 and verse 29, he was that sacrificial lamb. There was no substitute for Christ like there was for Isaac. Christ is our substitute. He is our substitute. The Bible says that we have all sinned, and the Bible says that we deserve to die. That is the wages or the payment of sin, Romans 6 and verse 23. But Jesus was our substitute, made him to be sin who knew no sin. In other words, he punished Jesus, an innocent person, for our sins. We are the guilty ones, not him. But he went through with that sacrifice. Jesus was raised and returned to his Father. Isaac was returned to his father, but in Philippians 2, beginning at verse 5, Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Now, some translations there say, thought that it was not something to be grasped, to be held on to. That Jesus did not think that it was so important for him to stay there with the Father that he would refuse to come. He says, but instead, verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know, death would have been bad enough, but the death of the cross was horrific. What was the response? "Wherefore God hath also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So the Lord provided the world an offering, one who is our substitute. So when Abraham and Isaac are going up there, and Isaac begins talking with his father, and he looks around and he says, "You know, I've got a bundle of wood on my back, and you're holding that torch with that fire. We've got the wood and we've got the fire." And certainly he knew his father had the knife. And he starts wondering, well, where's the sacrifice going to be? And Abraham said, "The Lord will provide." Did Abraham know? Did he understand? Did he have any idea how that was all going to play out? There is no indication that God told him that he was going to let him go all the way to the end of it, because Abraham took the knife and he raised it up. He was ready to put his son to death and offer him the burnt offering until the voice came from heaven and told, "Don't do that. Don't do that." The Lord did provide. But this account that we read in Genesis 22 is not just history. It is emblematic of what Christ did and what God did with his only son, sending him to the cross. But the difference is Jesus went through with it and became our sacrifice. The Lord has provided. He has provided everything that we need. He's provided everything that we need to survive in this world. Even the promise that if we put the church first, we'll have all the material possessions of life that we need. Matthew 6 and verse 33. He's provided us a true example of faith in the people, Abraham and Isaac. How much stronger could one's faith be? He's provided, more importantly, most importantly, the person of whom Isaac was emblematic, that is Christ, who was a substitute for us, who would come and die for our sins. God will provide, and He has. He has provided us the opportunity to come together tonight to study about what a great faith Abraham and really Isaac both must have had, and how that was emblematic of what Jesus was going to come and do for us. If you believe that He's God's Son tonight but haven't repented of sins, we would encourage you to do that. It's a command for all people, Acts 17 and verse 30. If you've not benefited from the blood of Christ that was shed in that sacrificial offering on the cross, you can be baptized into Christ tonight, having sins washed away. And then know that heaven will be your home if we live that life faithfully. If we walk in the light, that blood will continue to cleanse us. God not only will provide, He has provided. How will you respond to that if you haven't already? Well, you can answer that question, and we'll sing a song to encourage you to make the right response. Would you come as we stand and as we sing?